It's Wednesday and time for our weekly discussion of state politics of the Dakota Political Junkies. With us today is Seth Tupper, editor of the Mitchell Daily Republic. And Seth, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Also here is veteran journalist Kevin Wooster, Kello TV reporter from the Rapid City Bureau. And Kevin, thanks for joining us as well.
Great to be here. But why are you having me on when you're also talking about the state's aging population?
just a coincidence.
Okay.
Right. Well, Kevin, how's that transition from newspaper to TV going?
Well, if the sound you hear right now is the clink, clink, clink of the Kello Land TV people trying to drive video journalism knowledge into my thick skull, but they're making some dance that's coming along.
Okay. Well, let's talk about politics. The Democrats have a candidate for U.S. House of Representatives on Saturday, retired Army officer, Iraq War veteran, and Rapid City native Corinna Robinson announced her intention to run against incumbent Republican Kristi Noem. Although an unknown, Seth, does she look like someone who could be a strong challenger to Kristi Noem?
Well, at first glance, you would sure think so. You know, name recognition wise, obviously she doesn't have it, but when you read her credentials, I think if I remember correctly, she was a 25-year Army veteran. Retired from a job at the Pentagon. Those are obviously some serious credentials that I think voters will take seriously, and it might help her escape the criticism that she might otherwise take about not living in South Dakota. It's going to be pretty hard for Kristi Noem to make that claim about somebody who was serving in the Army all that time. So she's not your typical person that moves back to run for something. She's actually been out of state serving her country all that time. So it did kind of, you know, come out of nowhere, but I think for the Democrats it's tremendously great news to have somebody who will be a serious challenger, and you know, I guess we'll see what kind of campaigner she is and what kind of debater she is and everything else, but like I said, at first blush it sure seems like maybe she has some potential to compete.
Kevin Wooster, is she known in Rapid City?
Well, I haven't heard of her, but prior to this, but I haven't done a lot of backgrounding on her. She's certainly not a name that jumps out, and especially in politics. She's obviously has credentials. I assume, given her background, she's articulate and she's intelligent, and doesn't hurt to be a veteran in South Dakota. I do think she will have to answer the question of why are you coming back? Is it just to run for the Congress? And if so, can she galvanize the Democratic base? And you know, she certainly seems to me like she'd be somebody that would play well to an independent voter in South Dakota, and they're becoming more important all the time.
Well, Kevin, do you think that she was recruited by the Democratic Party to run?
Well, that's a good question, because and I don't have any knowledge one way or the other, but I would guess there would have been some interest on her part, maybe a connection there, and I assume that the lights would go on with the party on this one, because the last I knew prior to this, they were kind of scratching around trying to figure out what they were going to do with this race. And Kristi Noem is certainly still would have to be considered the heavy favorite going in, unless she, you know, they had somebody like Stephanie Hirsch-Sandlin jump in. But with somebody even like, you know, this Corinna Robinson, her Noem would go in a strong favorite with some weaknesses based on the recent fuss we had in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Kevin, you mentioned that Kristi Noem is a strong favorite going into the race next year. But Seth Tupper, I'm wondering if you think that the government shutdown last week will help or hurt her in South Dakota. She voted against the compromise.
Well, it's going to do both. I think, you know, with people that are more conservative and her base of supporters, people who supported the shutdown, it's only strengthened their support of her. But I think there were, Kevin mentioned the importance of independent voters. I think there were some people in the middle and obviously on the Democratic side who were soured by it, and maybe their opinion of Representative Noem is more negative now than it was before. That said, it's, you know, it's still a year till the election, and this could all be ancient news by then. But I did see that some Democratic officials had said that the reason the new candidate jumped in at this point maybe was because of the shutdown being in the news and Representative Noem's approval rating we saw in a recent poll dropping a little bit. So it was an opportune time to jump in the race and maybe get some publicity off of that. So, but what will happen in a year, it's hard to tell. You know, a lot could happen between now and then, and maybe the shutdown and Kristi Noem's vote against opening the government will be a big factor, or maybe it won't. Certainly, if I was on the Democratic side, I'd be trying to work up some things about that to use against her. When you had all the cattle deaths going on West River, and you had Mount Rushmore closed, and you had FSA offices closed, and et cetera, on down the line, you'd think there'd be some ammunition there to use anyway.
Yeah, Kevin Wooster, how do you think the government shutdown in the way it affected Western South Dakota during the blizzard, if that will have any impact at all on her support in the state?
I think it's really going to matter that she has an impact on this farm bill process, and that, you know, being somebody on the conference committee and having a direct role in trying to find something that works to get some help out here, I think that's going to really be important to her in the next campaign cycle. She's by her vote against the deal that diverted the possible default and settled the shutdown, she puts herself to the right of John Thune, who, you know, voted for it, and she puts herself to the right of Mike Rounds, which is no surprise, but who grudgingly, you know, said grudgingly he would have voted for it. She puts herself squarely in the camp of, on this issue at least, the Stace Nelsons and, you know, some of the really conservative groups. And I think that said to me, first of all, that she fears a Republican primary, or she fears a challenge from a real hardcore conservative more than she does a Democratic candidate. And I think given the last few years of weakness by the Democratic Party, she had reason to make that determination. Now, whether this new candidate coming in on the party shows a strength there that could cause her to reevaluate a decision on that particular vote, that remains to be seen.
Well, you're talking about candidates coming, challengers from the right. It looks like Governor Dugard has one. Former State Representative Laura Hubbell announced her candidacy for governor on Monday. And during her announcement, she accused the governor of being too cozy with big health care and big insurance. Seth, do you think those are fair criticisms?
I don't know if they're fair criticisms, but I don't think they're going to get her anywhere. I think Governor Dugard, judging by his last, you know, his election to win the gubernatorial race last time, and what's gone on in the state, I think he's nearly untouchable unless something incredibly different happens between now and election day, or he does something incredibly stupid. But this is a guy that it's a very Republican state. He breezed to election against Scott Heideprim, who people like me and a lot of others thought was a very legitimate Democratic candidate who really probably should have had a good showing, but was trounced by Governor Dugard in that election. So, I think people, anybody that's going to challenge Governor Dugard, I think is going to have an incredibly uphill battle to gain any traction against him.
Yeah, Kevin Wooster, it seemed like it'll be an uphill battle for her.
I think it's going to be tough for her to promote the notion that Dennis Dugard is a moderate or a mainstream Republican type, and especially on the Obamacare issue. I mean, he didn't want to expand Medicaid under Obamacare, at least not yet. The state hasn't set up an exchange. The state joined a lawsuit against Obamacare, which the Governor Dugard supported. The first thing he did when he came into office was make very controversial cuts in government. He put in a moratorium on game fishing parks land purchases for a period to evaluate that. He's done a lot of things that make him seem pretty conservative, and I think it's going to be difficult for her to sell that notion to anybody outside the hard right.
How strong is that opposition to Governor Dugard among the hard right in this state?
Well, I think it's pretty strong. I think there's a group of people that are really challenging, and Laura Hubbell's among them, that are really challenging the Republican power structure in South Dakota. And in a way, I think some of the Democrats like that. And in fact, they've in the past occasionally with some of these legislators that belong to this group, they've kind of linked up on certain issues where their interests converge. But it seems to me to still to be a pretty small group, and one that can certainly make waves and complicate life for Republicans. But this is still a pretty strong Republican machine in South Dakota.
Another one of her criticism is of a Common Core. Is that something, Seth Tuppy, you think she might be able to get traction on? That's something that there's a group of people that are getting quite vocal in their opposition to that part of the education reform in the state.
Well, it's possible, but I don't know how much direct impact the governor has on that. And as I think about it, that would be my question for her as governor. What exactly are you going to do to change education standards? not having researched that recently, but a lot of that comes from the federal level. And again, you know, if she's going to hit Dugard on education, as Kevin said, she'd probably have a lot better luck, barking up the tree of education funding, which was, as Kevin mentioned, was hasn't done so well under Dugard, and nor has anything since he cut a bunch of deficit spending out of the budget. But on Common Core, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be an area of much traction for her.
Getting back to the U.S. Senate race, Kevin, you mentioned that former Governor Mike Rounds said that he would have very reluctantly voted for the measure that ended the government shutdown last week if he were in Congress. His three rivals for the Republican Senate nomination, Annette Bosworth, Stace Nelson, Larry Roden, all said that they would have voted against the deal. And as we mentioned, Senator John Thune voted for the deal along with Senator Tim Johnson. I'm wondering, Kevin, how do the other three rivals, his rivals, how do they separate themselves from each other?
Well, that's a really good and difficult question for them to answer, because you're going to have a prominent, powerful, favorite frontrunner who knows how to win elections in South Dakota, and it leans a little bit of left of hard right center, if there is such a place in terms of the Republican Party. And how do they step out? How do they make a name for themselves when they all three talk pretty much the same line with some differences? I would say that Larry Roden is a little bit more of an establishment conservative, and Stace Nelson is way out there on the solo, hard right, the I do what's right, not what the party wants me to kind of guy. And then Annette Bosworth has not defined herself yet, but it's a difficult process. And I would think that Rounds would like having three conservatives in the race against him instead of one, because it certainly is going to confuse and maybe water down that hard right vote a little bit. But it's something he has to watch, because even a governor, former governor with a unblemished win-loss record, has to be careful in primaries. That's been proven the way that very conservative Republicans go after these more, they would argue, more moderate Republicans, and in some cases with great success.
And Seth Tepper, how do you see those three Senate Republicans candidates, how they would go about differentiating themselves from each other?
Well, it's going to be incredibly difficult. We did just have a poll from Nielsen Brothers polling in Sioux Falls we ran on Saturday that showed Governor Rounds was polling at 46%, Stace Nelson at 10.4, Larry Roden 3.9, and Annette Bosworth at 2.7. So if you believe those numbers, Stace Nelson has maybe already separated himself a little bit from the other two. And anecdotally, one interesting thing around Mitchell here, of course, Stace is from Fulton nearby, but if you just judge by campaign signs, he has campaign signs popping up all over the city and out in the country. So he's been out there and he's been active, and he does have a bit of name recognition in that he's made some waves in the legislature. His name has been in some headlines. He's a very large man. He makes an impression physically when he walks into a room, and maybe just by those natural things, he has separated himself a little bit. But as far as their politics and their message, I think they're pretty much splitting their supporters three ways, more so than they are taking any necessarily away from Rounds.
Well, as we talk about the Republicans, meanwhile, there's Democrat Rick Wyland still campaigning for Tim Johnson's Senate seat. With Republicans, at least nationally anyway, seem to be getting most of the blame for the government shutdown. Kevin, is that anything that Rick Wyland can take advantage of, even in a Republican-dominated state like South Dakota?
I think he can make some gains on that issue, and it fits pretty well in his message about Washington being broken and the money controlling Washington and people not being able to make deals that matter to people on a day-to-day basis. So he's certainly going to try to do that, and I think it's a fairly wise platform move to come up with that pledge to never vote to shut down government, because I think even in South Dakota, where there's a lot more sympathy towards the Republicans in Congress over this deal than nationally, even in South Dakota, I think people are sick of that type of stuff overall. And I think would have some sympathy towards that kind of a pledge. If we're going to have pledges, we have them for a lot of things. No taxes, this, that, never voting for this. That's a pledge that I think would connect with a lot of people, which is I'll never vote to shut the government down and send people home and and make the offices for FSA closed when the farm ranchers really need to come in after a blizzard. I won't do that. And I think that's, for a Democrat that's the clear underdog, I think those are the kind of things, the kind of moves he has to make.
Seth Tupper, do you think Rick Wyland is going to be able to take advantage of the situation in Washington lately?
I don't think so. I mean, given that he's not running against an incumbent, that's going to be awfully tough. I mean, as you mentioned before, Mike Rounds has said that he would have voted for the shutdown. I mean, he threw in begrudgingly or whatever he said, you know, to please his base, but he would have voted to end the shutdown, I guess, and so would have Rick Wyland. So I don't know, you know, what kind of gains Rick Wyland is gonna make off that. In a way, I wonder if he's kicking himself and wishing he was running against Kristi Noem instead of against Mike Rounds or whoever wins the Republican nomination, because that's where the traction is now, where he might be able to make some hay out of what's been happening in Washington. But when you're running a guy who wasn't even, who's when the seat's empty, I don't know how you can criticize anybody or make any headway saying that the government is broken, because obviously your opponent is outside the system just like you are.
Well, going back to the governor's race, Kevin, does it look like there'll be any Democratic candidates in 2014 for governor?
Steve Jarding, where are you? No, I haven't heard. He's not calling me back for some reason. Although I think he's more interested in the House race if he were going to make a run anyway, you know, that pragmatic, well-traveled, successful political, advisor and Harvard adjunct professor, or a real professor, I guess they've changed that. But, you know, there was some excitement about him for a while because he's got the ability to generate a base and get people pumped up. Right now, it's just, are they going to come up with somebody like Corina Robinson who's going to surprise us? And at this point, boy, your guess is as good as mine, but I said to Steve Kirby the other day when I saw him out hunting, you should become a Democrat and run, because they need candidates right now. And he thought that the power base wasn't quite what he'd like to have as a candidate if you were interested in that. So maybe Seth's got an idea. Maybe you've heard something over east, but I sure haven't heard anything.
Yeah, Seth, any Democrats for governor?
Nothing other than the usual cry for Brendan Johnson to run for every office, imaginable. And, I think the Democrats would love to see him get into any race. Steve Jarding, if I'm not mistaken, he was involved in Scott Heiderprim's campaign, managing it, or and I'm sure he was involved in some way. But, you would think that might have scared him off a little bit. Again, I mentioned that earlier, but Scott Heiderprim was a legitimate candidate who just took a beating at the hands of Governor Dugard in that election. So I think any Democrat who looks at that, that's got to be discouraging to anybody who would get into that race.
Well, we'll have
I think
Kevin.
He needs to get into it as a boxing match, I think, with a chance to make some points and support the party and energize the Democrats in South Dakota, knowing that the odds are slim that he's going to win. So does he want to make that kind of sacrifice?